நாராயணம். கேண்டோ 4, ஸ்ரீமத் பாகவதம் கேண்டோ 4, சாப்டர் 29, வர்ஸ் நம்பர் 12. ஆபனோ வ்யவஹாரோ அத்ர சித்ரம் அந்தோ பஹுதனம் பித்ருர் தக்ஷிணஹ கர்ணா உதாரோ தேவாஹு ஸ்மிருதஹ. ஆபனோ வ்யவஹாரோ அத்ர சித்ரம் அந்தோ பஹுதனம் பித்ருர் தக்ஷிணஹ கர்ணா உதரோ தேவாஹு ஸ்மிருதஹ. Translation and translation. The city called Apana represents engagement of the tongue in speech, and Bahudana is variety of foodstuffs. The right ear is called the gate of Pitruhu, and the left ear is called the gate of Devahu. We take text 13. Since there is no purpose, so struck Churta Dharat Vrajet. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki translation. And Narad Muni continued, the city spoken of as Dakshina Panchala represents the scriptures meant for directing pravritti, the process of sense enjoyment and fruitive activities. The other city named Uttar Panchala represents the scriptures meant for decreasing fruitive activities and increasing knowledge. The living entity receives different kinds of knowledge by means of two ears, and some living entities are promoted to Pritrulok and some to Devalok. All this is made possible by the two ears. Purport. The Vedas are known as Shruti, and the knowledge received from them through oral reception is called Shrutadhara. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, one can be promoted to the planets of demigods or to the planets of Pitas, forefathers, or even to Vaikuntha planets simply through the process of hearing. These things have already been explained in the previous chapters. Nalini Nalini Nase Ghanda Saurabha Uchate Grahona Abhavto Mukhasyam Vipano Vag Rasavit Rasaha. Translation. The two doors named Nalini and Nalini should be known as the two nostrils, and the city named Saurabha represents aroma. The companion spoken of as Avadut is the sense of smell. The door known called Mukhya is the mouth, and the Vipana is the faculty of speech. Rasajna is the sense of taste. Purport. The avadut means most free. A person is not under the rules and regulations of any injunctions when he has attained the stage of avadut. In other words, he can act as he likes. This avadut is exactly like air, which does not care for any obstruction. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said, Chanchalam hi mana Krishna pramati balavad dridam Tasyam Nyamagra Manye Vayor Eva Sudakshkaram. For the mind is restless, turbulent and obstinate and very strong, O Krishna. And to subdue it seems to me more difficult than controlling the wind. Bhagavad Gita 6.34. Just as the air or wind cannot be checked by anyone, the two nostrils situated in one place enjoy the sense of smell without impediment. When the tongue is present, the mouth continually tastes all kinds of relishable foodstuffs. ఓం అజ్ఞాన్ తిమి హరి కృష్ణ. So we are continuing the discussion wherein Narad Muni is explaining in detail about what has been covered in the previous chapter to King Prachini Barishat. And herein is in these three verses that we have taken, we are discussing mainly the three major sense organs which are explained by Narad Muni. The first verse, the verse number 11, describes about the nostrils or the smell acquiring senses. It also talks about the faculty of speech and also the faculty of taste. And the further verses explain the sense of hearing or the ears. So, as we understand from our acharyas, we have Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who has written many, many beautiful bhajans. In one of his bhajans, he writes, addressing to Lord Krishna or Gopinath, he says, Tumi Rishikesha Rishika Damiya. That, O Krishna, you are Rishikesh. O Gopinath, you are Rishikesh. And Rishika Damiya. That let my senses, Rishika, be controlled. Damiya means controlled. We have Kalya Daman, like how Krishna controls the Kalya demon. Similarly, Rishika Damiya means to control the senses and to utilize them in the service of Rishikesh or the master of the senses. So the purpose of a sadhaka is simply to somehow or the other engage the senses and the service of Rishikesh, that is the master of the senses, that is Krishna. So here we are describing a very, very important faculty of smell. Now everywhere we go, we cannot stop but smell. We constantly exposed to different types of smell. And the Bhagavatam explains that the original smell is of Krishna. Krishna is the origin of everything. And the original smell is of Krishna's body. And Krishna explains in the Gita that I am the smell of the earth. That is Krishna's smell. That is the original type of smell. And when that smell mixes with different substances, it produces different types of smells. And the Bhagavatam explains. So Prabhupada explains in one of the purports to the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He says that there are different types of smells or odors, which are like the mixed smell or the bad smell or the pungent smell or a very sweet smell or very mild smell and acidic smell or alkaline smell. So we are exposed to different types of smells based on different substances mixing with the original smell, which is of Krishna. Now, the whole purpose is somehow here to remind us of Krishna. It is said that Krishna says that I am the sun, I am the moon, I am the taste of water. Similarly, what is Krishna's smell? Krishna is the smell of earth. Once I was going with His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj. We were traveling and it was the first rain in Bombay. The first time it rained in that particular year. And after some time, the rain stopped and we were sitting in somebody's house and a beautiful aroma was coming. And Giriraj Maharaj stopped. He was lecturing. He stopped and he said, all of you, it's a very good chance to remember Krishna, because this smell of the first rain, when it comes and the beautiful smell which comes, that is the smell of Krishna. So how do we know what is Krishna's smell? Now I'm sure all of you have experienced this smell. When it rains first, it cannot be compared to any of the Charlie or the Brute perfumes that we sort of use, which are nothing but alcohol or chemicals. We try to fragrant our body with that. But this smell is the most amazing smell which no
company can duplicate it. It is neither too pungent, not too strong. It is neither too mild, but it is simply captivating. Nobody can miss it. If you are not experienced this, then wait for some time. When it rains first, wait for that beautiful smell to be coming out, and that's the smell of Krishna. So it is explained that this faculty of smell has to be used in Krishna's service, and again the Bhagavatam is explained that this nose should be used exclusively for the purpose of smelling the different paraphernalia of the Lord. It is explained in the Bhagavatam that Amrish Maharaj perfected his life by utilizing every sense organ in the service of Krishna. And how did he utilize the power or the sense of smell? He would smell the tulsi which were on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. The smell is a very, very powerful ingredient in our culture. In fact, it is such important service to smell the maha of the Lord, and it is so potent that four of the most powerful devotees that have ever been created in this creation, they happen to be the original gurus of one major sampradaya, the four kumaras. These four kumaras, they happen to be monists, Brahman realized personalities, and they were not believing in the personal form of the Lord. But when they were exposed to the beautiful aroma arising from the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, which is the smell of the tulsi and the sandalwood applied on his lotus feet, that smell itself and the smell alone made them into pure devotees of the Lord. And they started believing, and they became the worshippers of the personal form of the Lord. That is the power of this sense of smell, and that is the power of the maha from the Lord's lotus feet. And we have a very beautiful story in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. We all know very well that Krishna and the cowherd boys would always go around in the forest of Vrindavan and try to enjoy the forest of Vrindavan. One fine day, as they were walking across a particular forest, as we all know, the smell cannot be stopped, we keep on smelling different things. The cowherd boys, a particular very special smell came to their nostrils, and it agitated their senses. And it was a smell of the beautiful or the very succulent tala fruits which were existing in Talavan forest. As a Krishna, we are agitated. We are very much captivated by the smell of the tala fruits coming from this forest. But unfortunately, we are not able to go there. We are not able to go and eat and enjoy these fruits because there is a crazy demon, Dhenukasura, staying along with his associates. And he doesn't allow anybody to come to this forest. So we are not able to enjoy these fruits. And of course, we know the whole story. That Balramji said that, well, who is this crazy person? He went inside, shook all the trees very vigorously. Dhenukasura came running out, and he started beating Balramji on his chest with his hind legs. Balramji tolerated for some time. He just swung the demon at one point of time, and with the centrifugal force, the demon was killed. And similarly, many demons came, and they were scared of Balramji because Balramji already killed their head, so they attacked Krishna. So Krishna was no less, he also swung them and threw everybody. And then of course, they enjoyed the beautiful tala fruits of this forest. But originally, even the Nitya Siddha devotees like the Gopas of Vrindavan, they also get agitated by this beautiful sense that Krishna has provided with the sense of smell. And they also utilize that in the service of the Lord. So, this is basically about the sense of smell. We have to use all senses in the service of Krishna. And talking about the sense of taste, we have got this tongue. It is explained that tongue is the most powerful organ in the body. No doubt it is very, very small organ, but it is compared to be like the rudder of a boat or a ship, which is very small by size, but it perfectly controls the direction where the steamship is going to head towards. Similarly, this tongue, it is a very, very important organ to control. We all know one of the Prayojan, or rather the Prayojan Acharya of our Sampradaya, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. He approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after he left his home and after he had taken to the renounced order of life. And he inquired through Swarup Damodar Goswami that what is the duty of a person in the renounced order of life? What is he supposed to do? I do not know what is my duty in life now. Please tell me. Swarup Damodar Goswami went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, Raghunath Das Goswami is very keen to know of what is the duty of his, now that he has renounced his household life and now is in the renounced order of life. The first verse that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke,
Jivere lala se ye iti uti dhai, Shishnodar parayana Krishna nahi pai.
Very, very wonderful sloka. That my dear, tell Raghunath Das Goswami, Jivere lala se ye iti uti dhai, that if the tongue is running here and there, iti uti dhai, to enjoy different types of tasty foodstuffs, and if the sadhaka is not involved in controlling the shishna and the udara, the genitals and the udara and the belly, and the taste and the tongue, there is no way he can achieve Krishna. Krishna nahi paaye. Now here is not an instruction given to a person who is a neophyte devotee. This personality is the Prayojan Acharya, the Acharya who is going to reveal the highest understanding of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Mahaprabhu Chaitanya is instructing to that person. The first instruction that he gave to him was, Jivera lala se ityuti dhai shishudar parana krishna nahi paaye. How important is this instruction? That unless and until we can control the urges of the tongue, the belly and the genitals, there is no way we can even think of developing love for Krishna. And then he further explains, Gramya khatana shunibe, Gramya khatana koibe, Bhalana khaibe, ara bhalana peribe. He further explains that, please tell Raghunath Das Goswami, they should not involve himself to hear Gramya katha. He should not speak or hear Gramya katha, prajalpa. And he should be very simple in his living, Bhalana peribe, Arbharna khaibe. Again comes the don't eat very opulent food. I'm not able to remember the reference, but I've heard that Srila Prabhupada said that in the beginning when he inaugurated the Hare Krishna movement in New York, he would feed the devotees abundant prasad. There would always be a jar of gulab jambus lying there, and anybody could come and just, you know, pop in a gulab jambu, and then, you know, and Prabhupada said many times that you can eat your way back to Godhead. So many things he spoke. But as the devotees became sincere and serious, as they started following his instructions, he started giving them instructions, please, bhalna peribe ar bhalna khaibe. Don't eat opulent food. The whole lifestyle of a devotee should be simple living, high thinking. On the pretext of yukta vairagya, quote unquote, that, you know, we are eating for Krishna's pleasure, we cannot involve ourselves into eating opulent food or wearing opulent dresses. It is for Krishna. It is for preaching. We have to understand that simplicity of life is a very, very important factor for progressing in Krishna consciousness. And here, it is very clearly explained in this verses by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that we should not involve ourselves in Gramya Katha. We will discuss this a little later. But what we are discussing now is we should not involve ourselves in eating opulent food and talking nonsensical talks. I just happened to see what Prabhupada had to speak about Prajalpa in different conversations that he had. Practically of the 10 places that he spoke of Prajalpa, 7 places Prabhupada says Prajalpa means useless talk. And immediately the next sentence says, so there is no need to talk about politics. As what President Nixon does, he said, what we need to bother? We should simply involve ourselves into Krishna Katha. Why I am saying this point, it is very much present, you know, it is very important to discuss today. Because yesterday we had the big, startling election results coming out. And everybody in the world, in India is discussing about the election results and which party is good and why this party did bad. And everybody thinks that they are very, very great politicians, and they give their opinion about why this happened and why that happened, why this should happen. And it is a natural tendency that devotees also tend to get involved in these discussions. And to know what's happening, who is winning and who is losing. Okay, it's fine to know which party is coming, and that might be required, because we cannot be ignorant to, if somebody asks that which party is ruling India, well, we said we don't know. We know the example of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj going to a college preaching program, and first program after many, many years, and he spoke about a president of America who existed 7 years ago, or maybe a couple of years ago. He said, they pointed out, actually, sir, this person was there 10 years ago, because Radhanath Maharaj didn't know about who was the present president. So it's important to be in touch with the current events, but many times we tend to get too involved with the discussions, and we tend to get more information than required. And it has been observed definitely that we are not pure devotees. Devotees also tend to get involved with discussion on cricket, discussion on politics, discussion on the stock market. Some devotees who happen to be in this industry, they become like the attractive forces, and people just hover around them and they discuss about this aspects. But it's not required. We just need to know the basic things, if at all. But otherwise, getting into more details is not something that... Because Prabhupada mentioned 7 places, specifically talking about politics. It is pure a Gramya Katha. I was myself startled, but this is at 7 places, so it is important. And we also need to understand that another important aspect of this tongue is to speak. And what is a good speech? Many times we speak, but we should all know what is the ideal way of speaking. What is the good qualities of a speech? And is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. The good qualities of speech, I said it should be very eloquent, very, very, very selected words should be used. When you are speaking to somebody, it should be eloquent, using selected words. It should be very sweet to hear. It should be appropriate to the situation, and it should be kind. So, many a times, we in our enthusiasm or we in our passion, we speak out something, but we are not really trying to find out whether this particular thing that is coming out of my mouth, whether it is appropriate to the situation, whether it is kind, whether it is going to insult this particular devotee. We should use very selected words, because words, each word has a particular meaning, and we might be, if we not use the right words, then maybe we might not be able to convey the right meaning, and that might cause major communication problems. So devotees should learn the art of speech, that what comes out of our mouth. Because whatever we speak is like a arrow which is released, which cannot be retrieved back. Somebody is hurt by something, it is like a broken clay pot which he cannot at any point of time make it back into a pot. It is finished. It cannot do the purpose of holding the water. Similarly, when we speak something, it should be kind. You might be speaking something which is very heavy, but it can simultaneously be very kind. If something has to be spoken, it may not be spoken in a harsh way. That is very, very important. The person should be not losing his self-respect, but the point can be conveyed. That is a very, very important art of speech. And another very important functions of the tongue is to taste the Mahaprasad, as we discussed. The tongue should be involved in tasting Mahaprasad of the Lord. And one of the most dynamic devotees, very active devotees mentioning our Sampradaya, was a devotee named Kalidas. And he appears in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Kalidas happens to be the uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami. And Kalidas had such amazing enthusiasm for tasting the Mahaprasad of the Vaishnavas that it is explained by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that he had practically tasted the Mahaprasad of every single devotee in Bengal. Now try to understand this statement. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is not just exaggerating. He is mentioning pure facts. Kalidas had practically tasted or honored the Mahaprasad of every single devotee of Bengal. That was his enthusiasm. Some or the other, either taking the permission of a devotee if he allows, or by hiding, he would take the Mahaprasad. So once he wanted to take the Mahaprasad of a great devotee named Jadu Thakur. And of course it was the season of mangoes, the way it is having now. We are having a season of mangoes. Right? So he, Kalidas was a rich person, because his uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami, so you can understand he was a rich man. And Jadu Thakur was not a very rich person, and he was not from a very high caste. So Kalidas went to the house of Jadu Thakur and he said that, please give me the remnants of your prasad, of the foodstuffs. He said, impossible, please don't speak this. How can I give you? You are born in a very respectable rich family. How can you think of taking the Mahaprasad of mine? Please don't ever think like that. So Kalidas didn't want to embarrass him. He just kept a tokri of mangoes, as this is a gift from my side, and he went away. Near the house he was hiding. He was fired up. He didn't leave the opportunity. So the wife came and she saw the whole basket of mangoes. She went in the kitchen, cut the mangoes and offered it to Jadu Thakur. He took the mangoes, left the skin and left the seed behind. His wife honored some, and then of course she took the remnants and threw it in the backyard, because it was not worth consuming. Kalidas came running and he started with great enthusiasm licking the remnants of this mango seed and the mango skin and licking with enthusiasm. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the next verse, he says, devotees should, without feeling embarrassed and with great enthusiasm, take the Maha of another devotees. And there he says that there are three most powerful things that will help a devotee to make tremendous progress. And he said, I am telling you again and again, please take it seriously. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is telling us to be serious about this. It's not something that it is can be ignored. Bhakta Bhukta what is that sloka? Bhakta Pada Dhuli or Bhakta Pada Jal, Bhakta Bhukta Avashesha Tina Mahabal. What are three Mahabals? Not just Bal, Mahabal. They are very powerful. What are three powerful things in devotional service? Bhakta Pada Dhuli, that dust from the lotus feet of a devotee. This brings me a thought. Many years back, we had gone to the Vrindavan Yatra. The first day, we reached the Vrindavan Yatra. The next day, the Yatra was starting. I happened to enter into Radhana Swami's room. And there I didn't find Radhana Swami Maharaj, but I saw Abhiram Gopal Thakur, our wonderful resident of this temple. And I said, I offered my obeisance to him, and I just had gotten news when I was in Bombay that he had suffered from some mild paralytic attack, we came to know in Bombay. So I met him, I was so happy to meet him. I said, Prabhu, how are you? And I said, what are you doing in this room? He said, well, I'm doing something very important. And he was taking something and applying. He was saying something, applying. I said, what are you doing? I said that I know for sure that this paralysis cannot be cured by any medicine. The only way it can be cured is if I can get the dust of the person staying in this room. And he was applying with great faith. And I saw that what faith this person has. that he is actually literally taking this dust and applying on his body. Bhaktapada Dhuli and Bhaktapada Jal. That the water emanating from the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. And Bhakta Bhukta Avashesha. That the remnants left by the devotees. These three are the most powerful things, and Kalidas was enthusiastic to honor this all the three things. And what was the result? Very, very powerful result he got in return. For years he was honoring the dust, the remnants, and the water of the devotees' lotus feet. So the next year, when he went to Jagannath Puri, system of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that before he would enter the Jagannath temple, at a particular spot he would wash his feet. Govinda, who was a servant, would pour water on his feet. He would wash his feet in a small pit, and water would remain. It was a strict instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that no one is ever allowed to take any water from this pit. And it is explained by Krishna Kavya Goswami that no living entity would come to take the water, not only human beings, no living entity. That is specifically mentioned. That's how serious was the law by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that nobody ever could touch this, take these waters. But that year, Kalidas, in his increased enthusiasm and desire to not only take the dust of the devotees and the water from devotees' lotus feet, he wanted to take the waters from the lotus feet of Lord Himself, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So right in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Govinda was washing his feet, he took one and he drank it, second time he drank it, third time he drank it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, now it is enough. I have given you what the best I can. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went away. Something which was not available for any devotee in the history. Of course, devotees at the Gundicha Marjanam would with great trick take the water from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet. But right in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with his permission, something was not available to anybody, was available to Kalidas. And the reason Krishna Kavira Goswami mentions is because of his faith in these three most powerful things. So try to understand the power these three things has. We tend to make it very, very, these three things, we make it very cheap. We just very cheaply just take the dust, not really knowing what is the power of this substances. These are powerful substances which can practically change the course of your devotional service if taken with complete faith. Krishna consciousness is something, the way you approach it reciprocates with you accordingly. We cannot make it a joke out of it, that somebody takes the dust and you take the maha and da, 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 and there is some fight and some giggling and then it's over. No, it is something which is very serious, because it can have serious effects in your spiritual life. So this is how we can utilize this power of speech in Krishna's service. And as is explained in the last verse, that the ears are also a very, very important senses to make progress in Krishna consciousness. In fact, in the third verse itself of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained, Pibata Bhagavatam Rasama Alayam. That this juice of Srimad Bhagavatam has to be drunk by the ears. Pibata, to drink. How? We can't drink through our mouth. But how do we drink the nectar, drink juice of Srimad Bhagavatam? Through the ears. It is through this powerful sense of the ear that a person can make tremendous spiritual progress. Nashta parayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati ruttama sloke bhakti bhavati naishtaki. That bhakti is established in your heart as an irrevocable fact. How? By nityam bhagavata sevaya. And what is this bhagavata sevaya? By offering the sense of ear to the Srimad Bhagavatam. And what is the result? Bhakti is established in your heart as an irrevocable fact. So this it is explained that the most powerful vibration is the sound vibration. When we are sleeping, the only senses that are active is the sense of hearing. The only way we can save ourselves is by the sense of hearing, because we are in complete ignorance otherwise. The sound vibration is a very, very powerful vibration. In fact, if a particular sound vibration is created with a particular frequency, it has a power to practically destroy the entire creation. That's the power of sound. And to the same extent, if the sound vibration is used in a proper way, it can give us tremendous spiritual progress. It is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita again by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. No, in the Chaitanya, Charitamrita, that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai, they met at the place of Kavur. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like condensed milk. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the activities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are like condensed milk. And Ramananda Rai is like sugar candy. And when they both met, it was a mixture of condensed milk with sugar candy. And when they started discussing the leelas of Radha and Krishna, it was like adding camphor to this mixture. And devotees, Krishna Kaviraj Goswami explains, are requested to honor this mixture through the sense of hearing. So this is the power of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's leela and the leela of Radha Krishna. It is as sweet as sugar candy, as sweet as condensed milk, and when it's mixed together and added camphor to it, it gives rise to a very, 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 very tasty preparation. And we can't honor it through this mouth, but we have to honor it through the oral reception. Another great acharya, we had the Kumaras been delivered, or rather they got the position of great devotees of the Lord by that sense of smell. We have another acharya who is one of the powerful acharyas of our own sampradaya, Narad Muni. How did he get the position of Narad Muni? By Shravanam. When he heard the glorious pastimes of the Lord in the association of devotees, the Bhakti Vedantas, he made such progress in the next birth, he got the position of Narad Muni. So that is the power of this hearing. So, if we understand that the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, and if we understand that by regularly giving our audience to this Srimad Bhagavatam, all the bad things that we are trying to remove, the unearthers, that will go away. And that's how we can utilize all the senses in the service of the Lord. And then we make tremendous progress in our Krishna consciousness. So this is what we wanted to discuss today, about how to utilize the three senses in Krishna's Krishna's service. The sense of the ear, of nostrils, by smelling beautiful fragrance of the Lord. One of the important ingredients in our Archana Vidhi is Esha Gandha. We offer scent to the Lord, and we take the scent and take it as Maha, and that is part of our regular morning program. So it has tremendous potency if you have the faith in that. Then the sense of tongue, or not eating anything but Krishna Prasadam, and with faith that this Maha of the devotees. In fact, he said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that when the Krishna tastes a bhoga, it becomes Mahaprasad. But when the devotees taste the Mahaprasad, it becomes Mahaprasad. It is doubly powerful. And then, of course, by speaking about Krishna Katha and giving our audience to Krishna consciousness, we make tremendous progress in Krishna consciousness. And this is how we utilize this powerful senses in Krishna's service. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or any comments anybody has? Kantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.